This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Go! I'm not distracted! Hold on! Wait a minute. Sorry. Hold on. Wait for it. Ah, my name is Markiplier. Boy, I love sports, and so does this guy.
Yeah, I'm the sportiest sportsman you ever did sport and see, so that's me, Tyler.
This is the podcast! Hold on. Oh man, you know, in all the spare time I have, you know what I'm doing? Trying to get back to where I was in this fucking climbing game. I was practicing and then I fell, and now I'm trying desperately to get back to where I was.
No!
Hi, welcome to the podcast, everybody. I hope you're having a good day, because I am. We're going to talk about sports today. I'm going to Alt F4 out of this, because I'm doing that at the same time. Hi.
So I'm out of town. For people that are watching a video, you already saw my background's completely different. Right before we started recording, my friend came in and was like, oh, so your power's still on. All the power and internet downstairs is gone.
Weird.
You know what I think it is? It's your climbing game. It's because you didn't get back to where you were before we started, and that's what caused the chaos.
It's fine. I don't need to get back to where I was before. And frankly, if I try to multitask, it's not going to work anyway, so I'm not worried about it. It's not a problem. No one needs to be concerned.
Yeah. Speaking of climbing, I will actually be going to the climbing gym this week, and I'm excited about it. I bought new climbing equipment. It's great.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations for that.
What have you been up to? What's been going on for you?
Oh, you know, movie making. You know, making movies. You want me to talk about that gripe I was talking about before?
Yeah.
All right, so I know that this will be fine because no one who has said this will probably be listening to this podcast, probably. But I've actually heard it from many people, many, many people. You know, I've been doing larger projects, but sure, this is my first feature film. Space was 6.5 hours long. It's fine. Whatever.
First person perspective, choose your own adventure twice with who killed and date. And then
I do get it because it's like that. It is different, but I have also done short films before. I've done plenty of sketches. I've done plenty of videos. I've made tons of content. And yeah, they're all elevations and a movie is different. I recognize that. But I've heard from so many people that's like, oh man, oh, you're going to find out making a movie is so much different. Ha ha ha. Oh man, you're tackling this. Oof. I remember my first time. You're going to see. And I all of them are saying the same thing, which is like, oh man, making a movie is so different. You'll learn when you make your first movie. And I go, bitch, you've never made a movie either. Bitch, what are you talking about? Like, why are you? I understand where they're coming from being like, ha ha ha. But I'm talking to people that have all played a part in making a movie. I don't discredit their experience in their role, But what I'm doing is still fundamentally different from mm-hmm. what you're talking about. And yes, I recognize that it's hard. But I, as a creator, in the field that I have worked, I have so much more experience in taking a fully fledged concept from start to finish than pretty much anyone they've ever talked to. I get it. Like, oh, YouTube's different. They're always going to recognize that. But the fundamental principles are entirely the same. And I have carried from beginning to end through the whole process so many more than they have. And this is just of another scale that is larger, more complex. And frankly, yes, what I'm doing is more complicated and harder, but I am uniquely qualified to do it. And it's not that many people. It's not like it's just funny that so many people don't recognize how being a YouTuber builds the specific skills necessary to do exactly what I'm doing. So if you were to pick anybody, especially people like straight out of film school or something, to lead a project like this and carry it from start to finish, that's why so many people don't, it doesn't turn out that well, is because, you know, there are a lot of different pieces that go into it. And a lot of it comes down to editing. I do think so many more creative types, directors, writers, should edit. They should at least learn to edit or understand the appreciation of editing, because editing is the core process with which the entire thing comes together. And if you, as the writer or director, are not also in the editing process, or at least know how editing works, you are letting things go to chance. And you're setting yourself up for disappointment of being like, oh, my vision is not doing that. It's like, well, if you don't know how to do that, then you're not obviously going to have to give some control up. And it just so happens that I like to do so many pieces of it. And I've learned a ton about the process. And I'm going to keep learning as I keep doing this.
Well, and that's that falls in line with the same thing, I think, with a lot of corporations nowadays, is they don't know what the people at the ground are dealing with because they've never done it. They're not there currently. They've never gone to those places and done it, which is why I always loved the show Undercover Boss, because it connects those higher ups with what's actually happening at the ground floor level. So I'm a firm believer when I create a business, it's like, I'm learning every step of the way, and I'm going to make sure I know all the pieces to the puzzle so that when something comes up, I can be like, oh yeah, this is how I used to fix that. If that doesn't work now, let's figure it out. And I listen to them because they're more of an expert in that particular position than I am, even though I'm supposedly their superior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fine. It's fine. I understand. And this is how I've been in most of the things that I do, is like, I understand that I'll come into something and I won't know everything, but there's a dichotomy where people expect you to know everything or think that you shouldn't be there until you know everything. And therefore, they don't tell you anything. They don't try to teach you. And for me, the whole process of creating is an experience where you get to learn as you're doing it. That's the most fun part. It's frustrating, sure, but there's no better crucible to learn things than being in the midst of making. Learning by doing, this is all part of it. It's just I'm trying to do bigger and bigger things, but I've learned infinitely more. This past year has been stressful, but it's also been an incredible exercise in learning. And I've learned so many skills that I did not have before, and I've accelerated my ability. Let's see, what will happen is I'll make a claim. People doubt it and whatever. That's fine. I'll make a claim. And no matter what, by the time it comes due, I will have forced myself to be sufficient to the claims I am claiming. And I will learn what it takes. That's what I mean when I say, like, I'm going to make a movie. And everyone goes like, whoa, there's so much goes into a movie. I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And that's part of the process for me. That's always been part of the process for anything that I do.
Well, and that's the same thing with sports. And honestly, a big reason why we started this was to create a gateway for people to find their way into sports, find something they might be interested in pursuing.
As soon as I'm done with this movie, there was going to be a lot more learning by doing with this. There was going to be a lot more stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the sacrificial part, is like, yeah, to do this is like, oh, yeah, I do have to learn a lot, which takes a lot of time, which takes me a lot of places, but it'll be done soon. Believe it or not, it'll be done soon. By the time this comes out, it's just a few more weeks until it's done. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
That's exciting. But then you have to do the press.
Press. This is a press. What are you talking about?
That was literally the face I expected you to make.
I am the press.
I will do it. Just me.
I've been saving it for a while because there was an update to Iron Lung a little bit ago that David, the developer of the game, made. There was like the cheat code update. There's a cheat code in there that puts my face on every texture in the game. And it's like, I've been saving that to record that particular game until I'm done. So I could say like, it's finally done. Here's when it's coming out. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I've been looking forward to that one a lot.
Well, it's time to dive into Go. Time for us to get into it and get back to the sports roots. Because I know the WWE WrestleMania overview that we gave just came out.
Uh-huh.
We've got the marathon episode is going to be coming out here in a few days. But it's time to fulfill my promise and talk about Muay Thai. Because I was in Thailand and I did go to a Muay Thai event.
Is that how it's pronounced? Muay Thai?
Muay Thai.
Not Muay Thai? Muay Thai?
I literally made sure I've triple check. It's Muay Thai.
Okay. Muay Thai.
Do you want to hop into jacuzzis? Did you prep them?
I don't have any. I keep going to the subreddit, and every time I click, well, right now I'm looking at the subreddit and tags aren't there, but every time I click on the tag, it'll go to the, never mind, it's working now.
It's really random when the way Reddit works. It's really random when it decides to work.
I was clicking on this, it wasn't working. No, I just clicked on it, it was. All right, I got some. Here comes the ghost.
Oh my God.
Okay, Gearhead Sean. It's basic research. Dummy. I had a feeling I'd be banging my head against a wall listening to the pro wrestling video, as it's clear you two are not the target audience, which is fine. What did I do?
I don't know.
Which is fine, but can be a bit alienating to those who enjoy the redneck anime that is pro wrestling compared to watching the Borefest that is the World Series. Rant over, jacuzzi begins. A simple Google search would show that WrestleMania 39 did not have 2 million viewers. That was the number for their cable show Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, which are really good numbers for cable. WrestleMania 39 had over 500 million viewers and 11 million hours of video. Okay, here's the thing. All right, here's the thing about this thing. You say a simple Google search would solve this. If you listen, both of us literally Googled it and couldn't find that. And that's not a discredit to our ability to know what we're talking about or that we're not the target audience. We did what you're saying. Google searching is just much, much worse than it ever has been. It's only gotten worse over the past few years, and that's not our fault, and it's not anyone's fault, really, because we looked for it. See, here's the first response. Marpec said, I also was curious about this, but when I Googled, the first thing I saw was the 2.26 million number. That's what you see. You say a simple Google search. No, that's not what it is. Because how would we know to search for WrestleMania 39 specifically? Which I believe that you're like, if you just search for that, it's like, sure, I don't even know if it's WrestleMania 39. That information isn't presented to me. And I get like, yeah, it's because I haven't been watching. But yeah, you have to understand, this is why we bridge the gap between sports knowers and not knowers, is because you need to know that most people wouldn't have any clue what number of WrestleMania occurred, let alone that WrestleMania is different from Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown. These terminologies might be really simple and redundant to you and obvious. They're not obvious to everyone else. That is the point of breaking down sports for everyone on the most minute level. So even the most ADD addled brain out there, which might be mine, would be able to understand. Get out of my ass, ghost. Get out. Get out.
I also feel like the other thing, too, is when you look at numbers, there's always different places that numbers come from. Uh-huh. And so it's like, all right, what were the live views, the cable TV live views? And that number might be related to the live views while not talking about the past views, the video views, the everything else. Because the other thing is, when it comes to these things, as time progresses, ever since that event happens, they cultivate the numbers to be the largest amount within reason in order for them to attract the most amount of sponsors, the most amount of being able to sell for their rights even better to different broadcasts. So they're always looking for it. So that could be video views, internet views versus like cable television or pay-per-view and stuff like that. Without being able to really deep dive into each individual thing, which is really difficult to do on Google, we don't know. And it literally came up during the show, which a lot of you guys think the show is scripted, but questions happen. We Google a lot throughout to try and figure out an answer for it. And that was one of those circumstances where we literally Googled it. We both did, because even I double checked what Mark found and got the same thing.
All right, here's another one from Foltzy50. Tyler,
I was excited to hear your take and Mark's reaction on professional wrestling. Even if this wasn't your cup of tea, I was still disappointed in the lack of care that went into preparing the episode. From the fake fight story, what? To not bothering to learn how to pronounce names, China is pronounced like China. Google will do it for you.
Hold on. I did say, I think it might be pronounced China, but I don't know. Moving on.
I don't know if it's China or China.
This just felt disrespectful to fans of the sports. If it's so important to remind people that it isn't a proper sport, then don't make an episode on a sports podcast. The fact that WWE is celebrating 40 years of constant production is impressive. Look, if this is an indication of the average fan of the level of whining there, I don't know if that's a good indication of the sport as a whole. Look, Ghost, let me tell you, it's not usual that I go on the offensive with the jacuzzis here, but let me tell you something. I thought who was mad at wrestling in that whole episode. I don't think anybody. You said everything about the athleticism, the amount of risks being taken, the amount of like actual danger, the drama of the people that are in those roles. I felt like that was a really fair indication of it as a whole, and probably a deeper look into the human element than most sport podcasts would ever do. What are you talking about?
I mean, the key thing, the only thing that we said made it not a sport, which is not taking away from the athletic ability. Like comparing it to Cirque du Soleil is a fucking high compliment. Like yeah. Cirque du Soleil is like the pinnacle of like acrobatics and stuff for the most part in a theater environment.
Totally. And I will give you, sure, you could have recited like an actual really nail biter of a match. But what you said was funny. I was like, I've got no problem with this. Like, it was a parody indication of what occurs from what I've seen of an actual wrestling match. And just because we didn't quote WrestleMania 235, where, what's his name? You can't see me.
Oh, John Cena.
Where John Cena, flew in on a jetpack and cut the Undertaker in half, but both his halves grew into another Undertaker, and then they formed into one that was twice as big. You know, just because we didn't talk about that death-defying match doesn't mean that it was any much of a disservice.
The other thing, the funniest thing about that is because I look at discussion and topic suggestions, somebody even said, oh, that's almost like this other dude in actual wrestling that almost fits his storyline at one point at a particular time.
Yeah, maybe it did.
Contradicting this jacuzzi that we just got. And I'm like, wait, so it was accurate, but you're saying it wasn't?
I feel like anything, this happens a lot, and a lot of people are this about fan bases, where if it's not a glowing review or if it's not talking about something without what they perceive as making fun of it, then it's not positive. But
right.
Look, the mop girlfriend thing, that actually did happen. That's true. The true things that we said happened and were funny, but also is a real, real indication of the kind of emotional manipulation and personnel manipulation that goes into this and egos that go into this. The control behind the scenes is an indication of why it's not a sport, but also it's an indication of why it's entertaining in the first place. You said it yourself. Well, maybe you didn't say, what was it? The other person of like soap opera or their anime, redneck anime, which is a very good indication of it. And look, some people would get really offended if you made any kind of joke about anime or did a parody of it. Anime is ridiculous 90% of the time. It's absurd. It's completely absurd. Even the anime that you think is the most serious one in the world, it's absurd.
Well, and my friend who I actually was hanging out with just recently literally calls watching it his man opera, like as opposed to a soap opera. He calls it his man opera. Also, I would also like to say our head researcher for the podcast, which we have, literally grew up watching WWE and professional wrestling. And they did the research for this and gave me the notes for this. You had a fan giving me this. They may not be a super hardcore fan and stuff like that, but they're also somebody who enjoyed it and grew up with it. The notes came from that. And I have a lot of respect for wrestlers. I think they're tremendous athletes. A lot of them came from major sports events and sports in general, from like Olympic wrestling to college wrestling to bodybuilders and various stuff like that. Like it's takes a lot, but that doesn't take away the fact of the key thing that makes a sport, and that is literally a sporting chance, a competition where somebody earns their victory. And I'm not saying they don't earn it because they have skills and they earn the drama. When it's scripted for who's going to win is a whole thing. I think there was another one that was like, I can't believe you guys didn't talk about the drama leading up to it. And I'm like, you guys don't know when we record these things. We don't record them the day they go out. It takes editing. So that hadn't even happened yet. The Rock beating what's his name in front of his tour bus Hadn't happened yet.
Hadn't happened yet. You heard it here first. All right, here's one that does have a good point. A few good points. Toxic Rin. Tyler, I like you, man, but you made some errors on the Ohtani news. First, his English speaking. Shohei does speak English, but it is his second language and he's more fluent and comfortable in Japanese, so that's why he had an interpreter. That's very fair. Secondly, you saying Pete Rose getting unbanned from baseball is grounded in pure speculation and Reds bias, and a distinction wasn't made clearly enough, if there was one. As the situation stands, Ohtani's interpreter had a gambling addiction and all Shohei did was wire Mizuhara, the interpreter, money to clear his debts, and he gambled away the money too. Meanwhile, Pete Rose knowingly and willingly gambled on baseball, the one rule every clubhouse plainly states you can't do, not to mention shady personal stuff he allegedly did in the 70s, the two situations are completely different. Lastly, MLB revenue and viewership will not plummet 50% if Ohtani gets banned. Yes, it would have a major impact on the game and several Ohtani and casual fans around the world would tune out from the game, but the number of losses from an Ohtani ban is nowhere near what you fear-mongered. You're still a master of balls and holes, Tyler, but you're imperfect, which is a good thing overall, but can be dangerous if you bias speculation and exaggeration as fact.
In all fairness, before I got into even talking about this, I did say this is very speculative and is not entirely thing. And I even said this is like a conspiracy theory.
I mentioned
that and prefaced that before I started talking about this. But there's perception, and this is not fact. This is what people think. But I also have a recent article about the Ohtani incident, and it literally is titled "Why the Shohei Ohtani Story is So Concerning for Baseball and Sports." And it goes into us, I can't recall a recent baseball story that has captured public imagination like the current one involving Los Angeles Dodgers phenom Shohei Ohtani, his former translator, and gambling. That is the literal first line in the article. This is on CNN. And it's like, Ohtani is the type of player who transcends the sport and counteracts the downward trend in baseball's national appeal more than anyone else.
Oof.
It's not even close with former teammate Mike Trout at little over 2 million. Shohei Ohtani's Instagram followers is 8 million total and rising. Looking at the public eye, Ohtani is America's favorite player. His Q score, a measure of appeal among broader public, is higher than any well-known active player, period. His impact on baseball in itself cannot be understated. Yeah, it probably wasn't 50%, but the impact, to get people to understand the impact, that's the number I threw out because it would have a tremendous impact on baseball. Additionally, if it was found out, which is why I talked about the conspiracy, that Ohtani was in fact gambling and there were baseball games in question with related to the gambling incidents, the relation of that to Pete Rose is very parallel. Yes, Pete Rose has done some other awful stuff. There were other things that have happened. I don't know the exact details. And he is considered the greatest hitter of all time by most people. And I grew up around that. Yes, there's arguments to be had about home runs or various stuff like that. And the age and era, like, that can be debated. That was me saying it just from how I grew up. And yes, I'm from Cincinnati, so it was talked about a lot. I don't particularly like Pete Rose. I think he's a dick, but that's a whole other story. The relation to gambling and the relation with Ohtani in current age and the way gambling is now into sport is a massive deal because it's like everything is counteracting why Pete Rose was permanently banned from baseball to begin with. And he was permanently banned from being a coach. He was active at the time. He was a player. He was a coach. And they removed him from baseball and banned him from the Hall of Fame. The relationship of what Pete Rose was back then to now is significant to Shohei Ohtani. That was the point. Yes, I hyperbolized, but the relationship between the two, the Major League Baseball, if it found out that Ohtani was gambling and they decided to not ban him, it would be impossible to ignore the fact that they are being hypocritical to the relationship that they have with Pete Rose.
I don't believe a word this guy says. He doesn't know baseball. All right, ghosts are gone.
That was my one current event story. The other current events, because we want to talk about current events, the Iowa Hawkeyes, following Caitlin Clark, made it past UConn to make it to the final 2 years in a row, where they'll be facing off against South Carolina, which was a matchup that happened last year in NCAA women's basketball, where the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks lost to the Iowa Hawkeyes in a blowout fashion, despite going undefeated the entire season. And so it's both a revenge tour for the Gamecocks and revenge tour for the Hawkeyes. Bird against bird, that battle's going to commence with star power galore, especially Caitlin Clark.
Cocks.
And balls in holes.
This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money.
You know, all those subscription websites, they just hide those charges from you. They're hidden and repetitive and you forget about them.
Oh, I know exactly which websites you're talking about. The ones that you like to go to.
You do? I've literally spent so long digging through my finances.
Rocket Money can help cancel your subscriptions.
You're saying Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings?
Absolutely, yes.
With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for me? Up to 20%?
Maybe. But for our listeners, definitely yes. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam. That's rocketmoney.com/sportsteam.
But now it's time for beat elbows and punches to the face.
Okay.
So I went to Thailand. And Thailand is a beautiful place.
He went to Thailand because it started with Thai, and that's his name.
Yes. And you know what else has Thai in it? Muay Thai, which is a sport known as Thai boxing and originating in Thailand itself. Mark, you're a boxing fan.
Uh-huh.
You like the combat sport of boxing. So now imagine, think kickboxing. But now it's not just hands and feet. You got elbows and knees thrown into the mix.
Can you not do that in kickboxing?
American kickboxing is feet and fists, I'm pretty sure. Now you're making me double check. Elbows and knees are forbidden in American kickboxing, confirmed.
Oh, okay.
So, Muay Thai, furious blows between fighters. First of all, you go to a mat, all right? It's the same square boxing ring. You're right up on the stage. You see the three officials around the stage and the one in the center. On three sides, you got the announcer's box. The music starts playing. Oh, they're doing a dance. They're like spinning on their knees doing this. They do a nice little dance and stuff. Live music made up on the spot. They go back to their corners. And during this dance, they're going around the circle and giving respect to people all around the stage, doing some bows and thanking people for coming in a way and just showing a lot of respect. They respect each other. They know each other. Then they go to their corners. They get their mouthpieces in. They get the little headpiece taken off their head. They get talked to the official, and the fight is on. The bell rings. All of a sudden, flying knee to the face, elbow to the chin. They clench and are trying to pull their head to their knee. They're throwing punches, and they're balancing on one foot and trying to kick high and kick low and kick them everywhere they possibly can, trying to knock them out. The fury of fast pace, sometimes bloody, whirlwind of kicks, jabs, punches, elbows, knees. They're focused and analyzing their opponent and always looking for the best time to strike. There are pauses between the clenches. There are pauses. And if you get tied up and there's not another faction, they get broken apart. People are flying onto the floor. Stuff is happening. When those things connect, it's like a massive thud and slap. It's loud.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound fun.
Considered the art of eight limbs, all right?
The art of eight limbs? They get
the art of eight limbs. Since you use eight parts of your body to fight. Two hands, two legs, two elbows, two knees.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but Muay Thai is the sport where they train their shins so much that they can kick metal poles and bend them, right? That's Muay Thai, right?
I believe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The old traditional training was they'd wrap rope around a board and would punch it and stuff. Yeah. And hit it with elbows.
This one would definitely imply a lot more potential damage if you get hit with a shin that could break a metal pole, right?
Yes. And the force. Yeah. Yeah.
How often do people...
We'll get into that in the history.
Okay.
We'll get into that in the history. Because now it's time for Act One, Mark. The history of Muay Thai.
In ancient Rome, the early Thai people emigrated.
In ancient Rome, when they brought in the Thai nations.
Uh-huh.
Muay Thai is a sport steeped in the Thai tradition that has spread across the globe, millions of fans in Thailand, and while not all international Muay Thai fighters will practice the traditions, you'll see some fighters wearing the traditional armbands and performing pre-fight ritual dance before their bout, which is what I was describing. There are many versions of the origin of Muay Thai, but most sources agree that Muay Thai was formed as a self-defense used by Thai warriors and royalty on the battlefields of many conflicts and wars that occurred throughout the history of Thailand. The earliest of records date back to the 13th century, and it was originally a combat technique that the upper class and royalty would be trained in, and it eventually began to spread to the common people as well as popularity began. But it began as self-defense, but also went into their training their soldiers.
Okay.
By the years 1697 to 1709, during the reign of King Prachiao Su, also known as the Tiger King, Muay Thai competitions were popular and took place in villages across Thailand. It's said that that king loved combat sports and often fought in local village contests in disguise as a commoner without anyone knowing that it was in fact the king, and he often beat the local champion.
Okay.
During peacetime, he had his army train in Muay Thai to keep their combat skills sharp and also just give them something to do. And since that era of Thailand, those competitions started popping up more and more around the country. In 1774, Nai Khonnam Tham, a legendary figure in Thai history, made Muay Thai famous for his battle against a group of fighters while he was a prisoner of war in Burma. He was captured when the Burmese attacked Thailand's ancient capital, and the legend says that he defeated 10 of Burma's best boxers by taking them on one by one without a break and one after another until all 10 had fallen. And I don't know if fallen means he killed them all.
I don't think he killed them all. There's no way.
I think he killed them all.
I don't think he killed them all. Fallen can mean maybe some of them definitely, but like it's actually, I know that people can die really easily,
especially some people, you know, they just die in their sleep.
But some people are really, really tough to kill, you know, and killing someone with your bare hands, it's, you could do it once, sure, twice, maybe. 10 people in a row is very difficult to kill.
I mean, if you knock him unconscious and then kill them, he was a prisoner of war.
I'm sure some of them are dead.
Well, I think all of them are dead because it was 1774, but
oh, you don't know that.
Also, I just like to point out that you're right. Me and you are tough to kill. I mean, we've been in and out of hospitals and get out all the time. It's wild.
Oh, no. If a Muay Thai fighter came up and wanted to kill me, I'm pretty sure I'd be dead. But I'm not 10 of me. If 10 of me were fighting him, he'd be dead. I guarantee you. If 10 of me were fighting anyone, even the most professional elite athlete, if 10 of me got to jump one dude, I don't care if it's Goliath. Goliath is going down. 10 of me?
But it's one by one, not 10 all at once.
Well, that's not what I said. You may have said something different. The 10 of me aren't going to play by any rule. We're not going to fight fair. If there's 10 of me, we're not fighting fair. You're going down, Goliath. That's collectively nearly 2,000 pounds of Markiplier coming at you. Oh, hot and heavy. No one's ready for that. You name one person that's ready for 2,000, a ton, literal ton of Markiplier coming at you, you're dead.
Well, if you give me enough ahead of time, I can prepare properly.
Doesn't even matter what you have. 10 of me? 10 of me. 10. Name a scenario where 10 of me don't get you.
You have to get to me by drinking a lot of alcohol.
Between the 10 of us, we'd be able to do it. It'd take a while for it to hit our system, and we're coming for you. We're getting in 10 cars, and no one else is driving at the same time. This is a closed track. No one else. We're not drunk driving on public roads. We're getting in 10 cars. We're careening your way. You're done.
What if I turned you into 10 deadly snails?
Coming for you. You're talking about the immortal snail that if it touches you, you die, but you can live forever? Yeah. No, you're done, though. We're immortal. That's the deal. There's no scenario. I challenge anyone to go on the subreddit and figure out a scenario where you, an individual, with all the prep time in the world, you can prep all you want, but I get to prep too while you're prepping. It's not like I'm coming after you.
Yeah, you can't pause time and prep and they don't get the prep. That makes sense.
Exactly. You're not pausing time. We all know what's happening. We're coming at you barehanded. We're getting you. We're going to get you. You're done. You're done.
Now to the early 1930s, Muay Thai officially became a sport with rules and regulations added as the ruler of the time, King Rama VII, pushed for them. Before the 1930s, there were very few rules in Muay Thai, resulting in occasional deaths during matches, which was occasional at that time, and there were matches all over for a lot of deaths, specifically since hemp rope wraps were used instead of gloves, which made strikes hit harder. Modern Muay Thai gloves soften the blows to prevent injury. And this time is also when bouts were limited to 5 rounds instead of exclusively fighting until one of the people are knocked out.
That was literally the rule. They had to be unconscious.
Yep. You only won by knocking the other person out.
Oh, well, that's nice, I guess. Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
Muay Thai quickly became an international sport in the early 20th century and has grown in popularity over the years. Spreading across the globe with thousands of gyms worldwide, Muay Thai's governing body, the International Federation of Muay Thai Associations, was founded in 1993 and has held a world championship almost every year since. And there are now 140 countries in the IFMA. They added gloves in the 1930s.
Oh, well, that's handy.
So now there's less deaths. They've got officials. They also do scoring now.
Man, that would suck to be in a match where you only end the match when one of you is unconscious.
I mean, that's the old school way. I think almost all fighting matches were. Traditionally, if you go back to their roots, even boxing, I think, was probably that way.
That's a lot of brain damage. That's a lot of brain damage.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But Mark.
Oh no.
Zach 2. Time for baby Mark to enter the ring and tie box.
As long as I'm going up another baby. Or it's 10 baby marks up against an adult.
There are weight classes. Every Muay Thai has weight classes, just like regular boxing. So you got to build your ring. 6.1 meters by 6.1 meters for small size. So for you, because you're a baby, that would be your size.
Okay.
7.3 meters by 7.3 meters for a larger size ring. 4 ropes around the edge prevent him from falling out of the ring. Although, as we know from the event I went to and Creator Clash, sometimes the people still just fall out of the ring.
That's true. It does happen. Yeah, even like 300-pound humans do fall out of the ring. Does happen.
The ring floor must be placed at least 1.2 meters from the ground, but not more than 1.5 meters. And the floor is usually wood with a foam mat on top. It's so that it cushions, because in Thailand, as I walked around, most of the ground floor is like straight concrete or pavement. It's just very hard.
Yeah, concrete usually is, yeah.
The ring installation is to position the red corner on the left-hand side of the chairman of the ring official's table, and the blue corner opposite to the red corner. The other two shall be neutral, normally white color. All right, your equipment. Same as other fighting sports, you got your boxing gloves. Or Muay Thai gloves, very similar. Mouth guards of the sort, highly recommended and actually required. But there is some additional equipment specific to Muay Thai. The prajit is a type of armband worn by Muay Thai fighters. In the past, their use was to give confidence and luck, and was usually made by the fighter's close family members. And some wear one prajit, some wear two. Some school colors also use color-coded ones to show rank, similar to belts in karate. Mongkon, which is a blessed headband worn by fighters for good luck in the match. Traditionally, fighters receive that from their coach when they train hard enough and are ready to represent their gym or school or fighting group.
Okay.
It's usually removed by the trainer after the Wa Kru, also known as the Ram Mu dance, and placed in the fighter's corner of the ring for good luck. So they usually wear it when they do the pre-dance ritual, which I was told by the Thai people that I met throughout it was to honor all of the fighters from the gym, all of the training, and all those fighters that came before them. So it represents honoring their trainers and the people who taught them all along the way.
Well, who cares about them?
The Thai people. and then the Namen Mui, if you ever wonder what a trainer is applying to the fighter before his fight, it's like a cream. It almost is like It looks like they're putting on Vaseline to a degree like they do in boxing so that, you know, the glove doesn't stick to your face and tear your skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is appreciated, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's also, this is a particular ointment that they use during healing throughout the fight, but it's a muscle liniment that helps soothe aches and pains in their path to recovery, with the main ingredients being methyl salicylate, and menthol.
I feel like, listen, everyone trying to get into Muay Thai, you don't need to know about this.
It's medicine. It's medicine. Yeah. But the key things, you got to know techniques, all right? Hey, Mark, you figure, you know, you've watched some boxing, you've watched some stuff.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so you know how to throw a little bit of punches, throw a little kicks.
That's me.
But you need to know how to do the clinch sweep. The most basic Muay Thai sweep is the clinch sweep. When your opponent tries to clinch, they try and grab you so they can throw their knee into your face. They come forward and grab, and you grab their tricep, cup their armpit, and use the tricep grip to pull and the armpit grip to push. So you're like twisting them.
Yeah.
And then you complete it while doing these motions with your arm. You put your knee on the side of their knee to knock them off balance. Then there's the dump. You're a very popular guy. You've dumped probably many people until you got into the relationship you're in now. You know, people, I feel like as a baby, all the other babies were after you, right? It's where you take your opponent down as you go into the over-under position, pushing with your underhook and pulling with your overhook and blocking the knee with your momentum as your momentum goes forward and you push them over, you dump them.
Yeah, you get off.
And then you got your head and bicep control sweep, which is sweep from the head, bicep consisting of pushing the arm and pulling the head and twisting them. As you do these movements simultaneously, you knee the inside of the other person's knee to knock them off balance and make them fall. Now it's time for the kick.
Oh.
You got your push kick. It's known as the teep kick, and I'll show you how it's done. Like this.
Okay.
All right. You go, yah! Like that. You push him with your foot.
A front kick, yeah.
Front kick, yeah. But it's basically a long straight foot thrust. Very powerful weapon to keep, you know, them away from you, especially if you have a reach advantage, because then you can keep them away so your kicks hit at the utmost pinnacle distance, so your foot's like really hammering in when it hits. You got your diagonal kick.
Yep.
Uses the shin to target the upper thigh. That's where you're, or the back of the neck, and arms, and around the ears and lower part of the rib cage. So head, thighs, back of the neck, rib cage. Ideally, you're making a 45 degree angle against the floor. Go for it.
Teacher, I don't want a Muay Thai.
Too bad. It's your tradition of your family now, and you have to. If you don't, you're disrespecting your relatives, and that's not allowed.
I feel like it's okay for everyone to choose their own destiny. If your family is pressuring you into following in their footsteps, you blaze your own trail. You be your own person. You go and make your own future.
I agree with you, but baby Mark is for me to control right now.
Okay.
No, but you've got your diagonal kick. You've got your high kick, which kicks to the head. You got a spinning back fist in Muay Thai. You have an uppercut. You have your Superman punch, where you literally like launch yourself off the ground and punch them in the face. You can do the flying knee. Usually they're used in the clinch, try and hit them on the chin. But really you're doing everything to damage the other person's body in order to get them to give up or just score points. And the real cool thing is I actually have video from my time in Thailand at a Muay Thai event. This music is absolutely live throughout, but this is the main event of the fight I went to. Most of the time, we only saw the home team, which is the red corner, do this dance. But this is what all of them pretty much did. You can see the headband on their heads that they have earned that I talked about earlier. But they, as you see, they move around or go to the different parts of the arena. You don't see this in boxing. Like, the boxers don't get that close to each other except for meeting in the center. These opponents fight each other constantly. They're in the same weight class and they're from the same region, so a lot of times the fighters have fought each other multiple times throughout their training, and they have an immense amount of respect for each other, so much so that it's like they don't build up the hype like boxing matches do, like I hate you, I'm gonna do this, blah blah blah. They instead have a lot of respect and care about each other. This is the live actual music stage. They have their traditional instruments, and then this is a girls match, and you see they get clenched here. That's a part of the fight. You see them doing the off-balance stuff, trying to knee the outside of the knee over under. This is so different. They bow to each other and show each other immense respect no matter the result. If you've completed, the other thing too is blue corner is going to red corner and drinking from the water cup. from their coach. So there's like, that's another thing is if you make it those rounds, the amount of respect they have for each fighter, they'll drink from each other's water cups. And Red Corner ended up winning. And the reason she dropped to the ground is likely because she is a younger fighter fighting an older fighter. So the age difference shows a lot. But this showed a lot of the clinch battle. He got a big knee to the ribs and he's down currently. So they're doing the count. And then he gets up the power and he gets up and right away get back into it. There's the front push kick, a diagonal kick to the ribs, another push kick to the ribs. He gets a knee, a couple knees in, and then he does a throw and he's down. And it's over. He ended up winning by knockout in this circumstance. But you'll see the trainer from his corner also run over to take care of him. Like everything is, they care immensely about the fighters, regardless of whether they're from their school or the other school. He ended up getting carted into the, carried by hand into the medical bay. And then he went to the hospital. I think he broke some ribs.
I'm sure there are some haters that don't like each other, or some fighters that don't like each other. I'm sure there's haters.
They probably have that, but it's almost like within there, they have to show each other respect. Muay Thai fights can be won three different ways. Knockout, immediately declared a winner. TKO is the same as boxing. It's where the referee deems the fighter is no longer fit to continue. That's technical knockout. And then points. At the end of the match, if neither competitor has managed to stop their opponent, then it goes to the judges' scorecards, and the one who has scored the most points wins. I don't know how the point system works because all of the point systems are so complicated. It's really difficult to try and track everything, but a lot of it has to do with like aggression, technique, and like the impact of the landed hits. I'm imagining different hits are different points, like knees, elbows versus feet and just punches, and where they hit. So those are the main things, and who seems to be controlling the bout. So that's like, how aggressive are they in establishing the fight? How much are they actually deeming in control, like moving forward versus retreating? I imagine the amount of time people fall, like in boxing, also counts for points. Those are probably like the main kind of things. I do know I looked this up a while ago, but aggression was one of the big ones. And then the techniques that were used, the technical skill. That's pretty much Muay Thai.
I don't really particularly want to try it. This is one of the few sports that I'm putting in the column that like, I don't want to try it. Mostly because I don't want to get kicked in the head. So I'm good.
So that's going to do it for the Muay Thai Primer. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed seeing the stuff that we did. But that's going to do it. We do have limited time available merch. It's in the store. store.gmfsd.com. Go to the Reddit. Send us your episode suggestions with the episode flair. And then also hit us with those jacuzzis with the jacuzzi flair. So limited time. You'll have roughly a month to buy it from the time it started. We'll put a timer on the website. I'll let them make sure that happens. But we got shirt, we got hoodie, we got stickers, and we'll have a cap as well. So check that out, and we'll see you next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.